The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'd like to consider this morning the words of verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. When writing his 91st Psalm, the psalmist made reference to angels and to one of the many important tasks that angels are called upon to perform. He said, For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And from this we see that angels are the constant guardians of the saints of God. And when we come into the New Testament, we find that angels played an important part in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, we're told that angels came and ministered unto him, Matthew 4, verse 11. And later, when he spoke about his second advent, he said to his hearers, The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And when he comes, he will also send his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather in his elect. And when he agonized the garden, angels were present once again. For we are told, when he was in Gethsemane, sweating as it were great drops of blood, falling down to the ground, we are told, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Luke 22, verse 43. And then, as they came to arrest the Savior, and Peter drew that sword, cut off the right ear of Malchus, the Lord rebuked Peter with these words, saying, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Matthew 26, verse 53. And so the Lord Jesus could command 12 legions of angels, and they would be at his side at a moment's notice. And who can forget that glorious announcement made to the visitors at the empty sepulchre resurrection morning? For we are told that an angel appeared and sat there upon the stone and said, He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. But before the word about his resurrection was published, the word must be published regarding his birth. And the world must be made aware of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, that word was delivered by an angel. And here in verse 10 we are told, "And the angel said unto them, unto the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings of great joy. There you have the gospel. And here we have an angel sent from heaven to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel to the shepherds. And it is that what I want to consider this morning, the good tidings. I want to consider the gospel as it was proclaimed by that angel. And what is it that makes the gospel good tidings? Because that's what the word gospel means, good tidings. What is it that makes the gospel good tidings? First of all, as we consider the angel and the message to the shepherds, I want us to consider the angel and his appearance. The angel and his appearance. The one who appeared to the shepherds as they kept watch over their flocks by night, we are told in verse 9, was the angel of the Lord. And so the angel of the Lord was the gospel herald. This herald of the gospel, we're told, was the angel of the Lord. Now when you look in the opening chapters of Matthew and Luke's gospel and elsewhere in the gospels, you will find the angel of the Lord referred to in a number of occasions. And each time the angel of the Lord is mentioned, it is in connection with the Lord Jesus, and indeed with his incarnation. Turn please to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. And here we have the message from heaven was brought to Joseph. In verse 20 we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost." Once again, the angel of the Lord is the herald. The angel of the Lord is speaking to Joseph about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go into chapter 2 of Matthew and verse 13, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt." It's the angel of the Lord again. Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. "And when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel." The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord each time, which made the announcement and carried on the heavenly correspondence with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord was the herald of the gospel. The angel of the Lord had much to say about Christ. Dear Christian, this morning, we may not be angels, but we can certainly be like an angel. We can be like the angel of the Lord. And we can be heralds of the gospel. We can bring the good news, the good tidings, to those who need to hear. We may be like the angel of the Lord and also have much to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord had much to say about the Savior. He is the herald of the gospel. He is the first preacher of the gospel. Yes, I know that the gospel is there in every book of the Old Testament, but he is the first to preach the gospel after the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Christ is the gospel. And here you have the angel of the Lord, the herald of the gospel, bearing the torch, as it were, of the gospel, and he hands it down to us. And like an Olympic runner, let us run with the torch of the gospel and bring it to those who need to hear the good tidings that Jesus Christ, the Savior, has come. And he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we have the herald, the gospel herald, and then we have the gospel hour. When was this message preached? When was the good tidings brought to the shepherds? Well, we're told it was when they were watching their flocks by night. It was at night that the angel of the Lord came. It was at night that the angel of the Lord brought the good tidings of the gospel. Darkness was all around the shepherds when they heard the good news about Christ. And you know, that just typifies for us that this is the hour of the gospel, because there is a darkness, there is a spiritual darkness all around us. There are men and women today all over the world who sit in darkness. It is a night for them. And they sit in their darkness, the darkness of their sin. We're told by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7, they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. Sin is associated with darkness. Sin is associated with night. It is the night of sin for many. It is a perpetual night. As Isaiah says, as we read this morning in Isaiah 42 verse 7, the sinner sits in darkness. It's a spiritual darkness, having no hope and without God in this world. And if they do not have any hope and they do not have any God, they do not have God in this world, they'll not have God in the next world. If they have no hope in this world, they have no hope in the world to come. They'll die without God, and they'll die without hope. They need to be told the good tidings. They need to be given the gospel. For what have the ungodly to look forward to but a certain fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And those dear souls need to be given the gospel, the good news, and told that a Savior has come. And the Savior has come to save the lost. And when judgment comes upon the sinner, when judgment comes upon the hopeless sinner, it'll still be more darkness. For the sinner will be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth from one darkness to another. This is the hour of the gospel. This is the gospel hour. This is the day of gospel preaching. The door of mercy is still open. It is the hour of grace. There is still time for men and women to repent and be converted. They need to hear the gospel. Paul says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Dear Christian, let us be gospel heralds. Let us take the good tidings to those who sit in darkness and tell them about the one who is the light of the world. It is the gospel hour. We must be gospel heralds. But then you'll notice also the gospel hearers. It only seemed but right that the first gospel message was delivered to shepherds. Of course, the gospel is all about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. But when you look at the shepherds, shepherds are just ordinary people. They were indeed in their day treated with disdain because of what was regarded as a menial task that they performed, caring for sheep. Sure, anybody could do that. You remember what David's brother said to him when David appeared there on the battlefield? His brother made fun of him, despised him because he was nothing more than a shepherd. His brother said to David, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? But it was to ordinary people like shepherds that the first gospel message was delivered. And in the main, it's just ordinary people who have an ear for the gospel. In the main, it's just ordinary people who are hearers of the gospel. The gospel, of course, is for the peoples of the whole world, but seldom do the rich and the famous have an ear for the gospel. The rich young ruler turned a deaf ear to the gospel message of Christ. Why? Because we're told he was very rich. Didn't have an ear for the gospel. But when the angel of the Lord was sent to herald the good news about Jesus Christ, he was sent to poor shepherds. Poor, humble shepherds. Likewise, when the invitations were sent out to those who were invited to the marriage feast, who was it that the invitations were sent out to? Who gave ear to the invitation? Who accepted the invitation? Why, we're told, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And thankfully, the poor, the halt, and the blind are not excluded from the gospel message, because if the poor were excluded from hearing the gospel message, none of us would be here today. Because that's all we are, poor, miserable sinners. But when the Lord sent the gospel, He sent it to the likes of you and me. And we can praise the Lord for that. That the gospel message wasn't kept away from poor, miserable sinners. So when the first gospel message was preached, it was preached to shepherds. Poor, humble shepherds, indicating that that's who the gospel is for. And let us be heralds of that gospel. It is the hour of the gospel. And let us take it to the hearers of the gospel. Not only do we have the angel and his appearance, but we have the angel and his announcement. That's what the gospel message is. It's an announcement. An announcement that all should hear, that the world should hear. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell His disciples, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel"? The world needs to hear the gospel. They were called and preached the gospel. And here is this announcement. No wonder the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Behold, listen, this is something you are to give an ear to. Give attention to this announcement." And when you look at the announcement, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's an announcement worth listening to. First of all, with regard to this announcement, this gospel message, we see here the comfort of the gospel. You know, the gospel brings comfort to men and women. Look how it brought comfort to the shepherds. In verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for," or "because." You have no need to fear, "because I bring you good tidings of great joy." I'm bringing you the gospel. You don't need to fear. I'm bringing you the gospel. There's the comfort of the gospel. And the gospel brings comfort to those who are afraid. Indeed, when we read here that they were sore afraid, the words mean they feared with great fear. They were terrified. Why were they afraid? The reason for their fear. Without a doubt, the presence of the angel and the glory of God shining round about them struck fear into their hearts. But this is natural. For when men are brought face to face, as we read in Scripture, with holy angels, when they're brought face to face with the holy God, they're afraid, realizing that they are in the presence of a holy God, and that makes them conscious of their own sin. They feel the guilt of their sin. They are uncomfortable in the presence of a holy God because of their sinful nature, and they feel their guilt. And so it was with the shepherds. I have no doubt of that. These men have been good men and humble men, but suddenly heaven came down. And the angel of the Lord spoke to them, and as they intimated later, they regarded it as the Lord Himself speaking to them. And suddenly they were afraid, because they were conscious, they were aware of their own sinful nature, and they felt their guilt. You go back to Genesis. When Adam disobeyed the Lord, we read in Genesis 3 verse 10, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because he knew he was guilty in the eyes of God. He said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. That's why he was afraid. Because he was guilty. The presence of a holy God in the garden had made sinful Adam afraid, because he knew he was guilty in God's sight. And even the best of men, when they are brought face to face with God and are conscious of God's presence, they're very aware of their guilt. We've been speaking about revival in recent days. And so it is in revival. Even Christians in the days of revival cry out to God because they're conscious of their sin. Their sin is made very real to them, their sinful behavior, and they feel their guilt. And the Spirit of God is working in their hearts. You recall that night when Jacob lay down to sleep, putting a stone under his head for his pillow, and he dreamed that night, and he dreamed about Christ. That ladder that went from heaven to earth. And when he awoke, he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, Now how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He was afraid. How dreadful is this place? And I tell you, for sinners, and they're brought into the presence of God, that will be a dreadful place for sinners, because they will realize their guilt and know that they're guilty in the presence of a holy God. That's the reason for their fear. And it's the gospel message that brings comfort to those who are fearful and are aware of their guilt. The reason for their fear and the remedy for their fear. The angel told the shepherds, Fear not because. Don't fear because I bring you good tidings. I bring you the gospel. And dear Christians, today when we meet with sinners and are fearful, and they're aware of their sin, they're conscious of their sin, they know they're guilty in the eyes of a holy God, what's the remedy? It's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the remedy. It was the remedy for the shepherds. For we read in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And we read in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Where's their fear now? It's gone. They returned praising God. They're full of joy now. Before they were full of fear. But now they're full of joy. Their fear has gone because the gospel of Jesus Christ has been declared unto them. And they have met the Christ of the gospel. And there's the comfort. Christ is the comfort for sinners. And that's why we need to be heralds of the gospel and preach the gospel to those who are guilty, who are condemned, who are headed for a lost eternity. Because in the gospel message, we preach Christ. Here is the comfort of the gospel for sinners, for it offers hope for the hopeless, help for the helpless, life for the dying, happiness for the sorrowful. It offers forgiveness to the guilty, pardon to the transgressor, freedom to those that are bound. And the gospel message that the angel preached that day, he said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's the center of the gospel. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is the center of the gospel. It's the heart of the gospel. Take away Christ out of the gospel and you have a gospel that has no heart. Take away Christ out of the gospel and you have no gospel. He's the heart of the gospel. He's the pith and marrow of the gospel. He's the Alpha and Omega of the gospel. He's the beginning and the end of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the gospel. When speaking about the devil's resistance to the preaching of the gospel, Paul said this. He resists the gospel lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Those words may be rendered another way. Those words may be rendered the gospel of the glory of Christ. And that's what we have here, and that's what we preach here. It's the gospel of the glory of Christ. Christ is glorified in the preaching of the gospel. Christ is glorified in His atoning work, in His atoning death, in His shed blood. Christ is glorified. And when we come to preach the gospel, we must get to the center. We must get to the heart of the gospel, for the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ. If we're not preaching Christ, we're not preaching the gospel. If we're not telling sinners they need to be saved and there is a Savior to save them, if we don't do that, we're not preaching the gospel. The gospel is all about the person. Mark that. The angel came and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He spoke about the person. He didn't speak about himself. He spoke about the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel. The gospel is not about a system. It's not about a method. It's not about a program. It's not about a party. The gospel is about a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about many persons. There's no mention of Mary in the gospel that the angel preached. There's no mention of Joseph. When we come to preach the gospel, we must preach the person who is the Savior. There's no mention of saints or servants in the gospel. No mention of priests or pastors in the gospel. No mention of churches or clubs in the gospel. It's all about the person. That's the gospel. That's the heart of the matter. That's the center of the gospel, Jesus Christ. And the angel came and said, I have good tidings for you. I have good news for you. And the good news is about the Savior. A Savior has come. A Savior. You don't need to perish. A Savior has come. You don't need to sit in darkness. A Savior has come to deliver you. You don't need to go to hell. A Savior has come to deliver you. It's the gospel of the Savior. The Savior who is the Christ. Three titles are given to Christ there in this gospel. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior speaks to us of the saving work. Christ means the anointed one. Refers to the Messiah. He's the anointed Savior. No other Savior. Christ is the anointed Savior. Anointed of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was not the message he preached. When he spoke to his own people in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He's the anointed Savior. And he's Lord, which is the equivalent to Jehovah. So he's God. Why you couldn't wish for a better Savior? You'll never find a better Savior than Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Anointed One. He is God. And he's able to break the power of canceled sin. He's able to set the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood avails for me. This is the gospel. This is the gospel we're happy to preach. This is the gospel we love to preach. The gospel of the Savior. And it's the gospel to all people. Verse 10, and the angels say that, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The gospel is for all people. Every man needs a Savior. Every soul needs a Savior. What's going to happen to you if you don't have a Savior? When you come to die, what will happen to you if you don't have a Savior? Be lost forever, without hope, without God. And notice something else. Not only is this gospel all about the person, but this gospel is very personal. This is a personal gospel. Look at what this angel of the Lord said. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. That makes it personal. Not only was the message for the shepherds, but the Savior was for them also. Here is the message for sinners. A message which tells them there is a Savior for them personally. He has come unto you to seek you, to seek and to save that which is lost. It's a personal message about a personal Savior. Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. We can tell men and women, this gospel, this message is for you. It has come from heaven, it's for you. Jesus Christ is for you. Will you not accept Him? Will you not make Him your Savior? Then thirdly, we have the call of the gospel set out in these words. Here's the call of the gospel set out in the words of verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In other words, the angel of the Lord was saying, "I'm giving you this good news, this message. And I'm giving you this message so that you might go and seek the Christ child. Ye shall find the babe," he said. And so he was telling the shepherds, you need to go and seek this Savior. You need to go and seek this Christ, the Lord. There's the call of the gospel. The general call of the gospel to sinners is to come to Christ. That's the call of the gospel. To the message which the angel of the Lord delivered, the shepherds were encouraged to seek Christ. And every time this preacher preaches the gospel, I encourage men and women to seek Christ. That's the gospel. That's my responsibility. That's my duty. Yeah, it's my delight to preach Christ, to preach a Savior, and encourage and exhort men and women to receive Him. That's the general call of the gospel. I, as a preacher, cannot create an anxious thought in the heart of a sinner. I, of myself, cannot bring sinners to Christ. I can simply pray that as the general call of the gospel goes out, that the Spirit of God will work and sinners will receive that irresistible call. they'll receive that call which they cannot resist or turn a deaf ear to. But here the shepherds were exhorted to go and seek the Christ. That's what happens when the gospel is preached. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You need to seek the Lord. You need to seek the Savior. That was the message the angel had for the shepherds. That's the message I have for sinners today. You need Christ. You need a Savior. Look at these words came from the lips of the angel. And you have there the promise. The angel said, ye shall find the babe. There's the promise. The angel said, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You'll find him. That's a promise. You'll not seek him in vain. You'll find him. And my, whenever the sinner seeks Christ for salvation, they'll not seek him in vain. The Lord will not avoid that sinner. The Lord will not hide from that sinner. But just like the shepherds, ye shall find him. That's a promise. That's a promise that comes from heaven. That's a promise that comes from God. Ye'll find him. The message is, seek. And the promise, ye shall find him. The message is, call upon the name of the Lord. And the promise is, and thou shalt be saved. The message is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the promise, I will give you rest. The message is, him that cometh to me. That's the message. And the promise, I will in no wise cast out. The message is, repent and be converted. And the promise, your sins will be blotted out. That's the promise. Think of the place. The angel said to the shepherds, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here's the Savior. Here's the Christ. Here's the anointed Messiah. Here's the King. And where's he to be found? In a manger. Now, had this King been born in a palace, what hope would the shepherds had of finding him? None at all. Palaces are not places that admit shepherds. Palaces would bar the way to poor individuals like shepherds. But Christ was laid in a manger, accessible to shepherds. We rejoice today, believer, that for sinners Christ is most accessible. He will receive you. You will find him, and he will receive you. Lepers have come to him and found him. The demoniac came. Harlots have come. The poor have come. The rich have come. The blind have come. The halt have come. The murderers have come. The drunkards have come. And they've all come to Christ. Weren't turned away. There was no barriers, no hindrances set up in their way. Just like the shepherds, they were able to find them in a place like a stable. So it is with the sinner. The Lord says, whosoever may come and drink of the water of life freely. Lastly, you have the angel and the anthem. You have the angels gathering there, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You have the gathering of the angels. Once the gospel was preached, once the angel of the Lord delivered the message, suddenly all around was the heavenly host. They had come to support the preaching of the gospel. Let us ever be supporters of the preaching of the gospel. And their song, why, whenever the gospel was preached, it caused heaven to sing. And believer, every time the gospel is preached and Jesus Christ is exalted in the gospel and sinners are offered Christ, I believe heaven sings. It causes heaven to rejoice. There's the gathering and the glory, for we are told glory to God in the highest. The preaching of the gospel brings glory to God. And the grace. There's reference to grace here in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice the order. Peace, goodwill toward men. Men need to see Christ. They need to know the Savior. Then they'll know peace. Peace through the one who is the Prince of Peace. Peace through the blood of His cross. When they have peace with God, then of goodwill toward men. Perfect example of this is in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Before he met Christ, Saul didn't have much peace. He was at war with God. He was at war with the church. But when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he had a peace that passeth all understanding. And goodwill toward men. Before he got saved, before he met the Savior, he was imprisoning the saints of God. Wasn't much goodwill toward men there. But when he got peace with God, then there was a change in his heart. Goodwill toward men. What a wonderful gospel we have. Let us be heralds of it. Let us preach it, and in preaching it and telling it, make sure we get to the heart of the gospel. Make sure we get to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for the one who is the very heart of the gospel. Thank Thee today for the Savior. And O Lord, we pray that Thou will make every child of God a herald of the gospel. Lord, we pray that we'll take the good tidings to those, Lord, that sit in darkness, to those who are oppressed, to those who are on that broad road that leads to death and destruction. Help us to tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. For Lord, what will it be like for them in their last hour? Without hope, without God, without a Savior. O Lord, we pray that even today men and women will come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Lord, may they not delay, but come. Father, answer prayer. Write the Word upon our hearts. Return us to Thy house tonight, Lord, to spend time again around the Word, to learn more about our blessed Savior. Now be with us as we leave the house of God. Give us traveling mercy. Go before us. Travel with us. And O Lord, we'll be careful to give to Thee all the praise and all the glory, for Thou alone art worthy. Amen.